Welcome to CUTV News Radio, where our hosts Doug Llewellyn and Jim Masters talk to today's top thinkers from all around the world to bring you information, inspiration, and thought-provoking ideas that you can put to use in your personal or professional life right now. Covering a broad range of topics, we dig deep to discover what makes today's top thinkers tick. CUTV News Radio, it's the show where ideas matter. And now, here's today's host, Jim Masters.
We welcome you to CUTV News Radio Live, everybody around the world. It's a real honor and a pleasure to have you with us. A full day of broadcasts are in the midst right now and continuing. And it's noon Eastern here at the Broadcast Center. And it is October 9th, 2019, at the time of this broadcast, live worldwide. But, of course, we archive all of our shows. So you can hear this broadcast again and again and again, 24/7, 365. Share the link with all of your friends and family and associates, colleagues, if you like, as well. We encourage that. And it's a pleasure to have you from wherever you are across the United States, Canada, and around the world. This is the place where we exclusively feature guests who are making the world a better place. Incredible perspectives, wisdom, experience, skill sets, and passions that they have, that they share with all of us. And we're so honored to have them every day on our show with multiple shows every single hour here on the broadcast. We're very honored to welcome somebody brand new to CUTV News Radio Live. She is positioned in Northern California. Her name is Camille Smith, and she is with Work in Progress Coaching. She's the founder of the Work in Progress Coaching. And you know, she helps leaders and their teams reinvent themselves and achieve new levels of performance by committing to compelling, sometimes seemingly out-of-reach futures and creating authentic, trusting relationships to make those futures real. That's what she does with Work in Progress Coaching. The most important quality for today's leaders, of course, is to be willing to reinvent themselves, their relationships, and their organizations. Leaders must continually rethink how they view themselves, the people they work with, and the future. Of course, reinvention isn't easy, but it is essential in today's volatile and chaotic, uncertain world. Now, as a coach, Camille says her role is to bring out the best in others so they can achieve what they desire. She listens closely to what people want to accomplish, then designs a pathway to achieve it. On that pathway are three things: a series of conversations that examine self-limiting interpretations, a set of practices that produce particular outcomes, and number three, of course, results to measure the success. Very important. The freedom to choose is the bedrock of the path, according to Camille. She helps people become conversational masters and create an environment where conversations for what's possible replace the mantra, "We tried that once, and it didn't work," where personal responsibility replaces blame, and where gratitude replaces grudges. Camille says leaders have to understand that everybody is a conversation. There's an internal dialogue going on inside of each of us that lets us know what we can and cannot do, can and can't say. And those internal conversations are usually unexamined, yet they shape our individual and collective performance. Examining and owning them gives people a newfound freedom to author more empowering conversations. Camille helps people get there. She says the type of coaching, she does is not transactional. A lot of times there's transactional methods out there. She's more about transformational approaches that actually teach people to make choices based on the future they author, not be victims of the past. Because it's not a quick fix. This approach, of course, isn't for everyone. It takes months to release ineffective habits of thinking and acting. The good news is that once you've experienced how to transform yourself or a situation, it becomes a way of living, and it's yours for life. It's extraordinary work that she does with Work in Progress Coaching. And it's our pleasure and honor to welcome her exclusively to CUTV News Radio Live for this 30-minute on. Boy, I'm really excited about this because I wanted to talk about this topic for a long time with her. We are here on CUTV News Radio Live, and we are so excited to have her here as we really take this 30 minutes and delve in deep with Camille. Camille, welcome to CU TV News Radio Live. It's an honor and a pleasure to have you with us today.
Hello, Jim. I appreciate the chance to have a conversation with you and the listeners.
It is our pleasure. And I know you're very excited about being with us today, and we are having you as well. And I want to find out, you know, I like to humanize the guests, as I was telling you when we were chatting before we went live on air, that I like the audience to connect with the guests in ways that go a little bit deeper sometimes. So for you, when you look at your life's journey, Camille, what are some of the things that sort of pointed you in the direction and inspired you to do this incredible work that you do as a coach?
One thing that inspired me, Jim, was when I was teaching high school in Ohio back in the 70s, English teacher, and I realized that I needed to find a way to connect with these students, and that was my job if I was going to educate them and some of the ways of communicating and writing and talking and thinking. So it was really a challenge to figure out, what does this audience, I didn't call them an audience then, but what does this group of kids need in order for them to see that there's some value in what it is about English and literature and that. So that was, that's kind of one point in my, and my success there, and of course some of the failures where the had to send the kid to the principal, but my success there really indicated to me, okay, you got to pay attention to what people are thinking and what you're saying and that kind of stuff about being in communication. So that was one. That was back in the 70s. Then in the 80s, I did this thing called the S training. And I don't know if you're familiar with that, but it was a training, and it continues today, and it's now called the Forum. But it's a training that lets people become more aware of what's impacting their lives so that they can be more at choice rather than just kind of float along like a log in the river. So in that experience, I discovered that I didn't know 90% of the stuff I thought I knew. So it was a real wake-up call, and I thought, okay, if in 3 days I could figure out that I was really off track in terms of what I thought was happening, that was a very powerful conversation. And because of the impact on my life and my relationships and my satisfaction from that, I thought, okay, if I could get masterful in how to have these kinds of conversations with other people, that would make that, I'd be worth spending my energy and my life on. So those were really the two big experiences in my life that told me conversations mattered and I could seek to be masterful. I don't think I'm masterful. That's kind of an ongoing journey, Jim. But that's what lit me up about, okay, a conversation can make different things happen quickly.
That is so important, and starting that conversation is very important as well. Not being hesitant to do that is so important. When you created a work in progress coaching, I love the name because it's so fluid. I see it as we are all a work in progress. Sometimes in our lives, we're boxed in, we're labeled, you know, growing up, our families, friends, co-workers may have us positioned in one sort of thought as far as who we are, and that's all we're going to be. I see us all as a work in progress. Was that some of the mindset in creating that name, Work in Progress Coaching?
It morphed into that, but where it started was one of my interests is to write poetry. And so I don't know if you, I imagine you might do some writing given the line of work you're in, but I would write
poetry.
I would write some poetry, set it aside. I'd go back the next day and I would edit it because I was really looking for the right words, the right meter. And this was just writing for me. It was not published or anything like that. But I noticed how much I was willing to edit my own work and dig it in and keep looking at it. So when I was writing poetry, I said to myself, well, if I ever have my own company, I'm going to call it Work in Progress because it's going to be my stuff, and I'm going to be committed to the best quality, service, product, whatever I can deliver. So it started as a little niggle when I was writing poetry. And then when I got bounced out of Nokia, back when the Silicon Valley blew up, and I was sitting here at my desk without a job and thinking, okay, what am I going to do? It's like, what made me the most energized was working with the people in the organization. Didn't really matter what the people's role was, but it was working with the people. So that's, I just took the work in progress and added coaching to it, and that's how it became my company.
That's fantastic. That's really a great progression. So let's talk about the kind of work that you do with Work in Progress Coaching. What makes you stand out to me? What makes you unique in terms of your approach and your perspective?
Let's see. Well, one of the things that's really important when I'm working with a leader and their team is for the leader to understand that they are going to be the one who makes this happen with their team. I'm not going to come in, fix their team, and then turn their team back over to them. So I have some principles that I operate on, and sometimes those principles, you know, someone decides, well, that's too much involvement for me. I'd just rather do something else, which is fine. But that's one principle, because I've observed over the years, Jim, that the team succeeds because of how the leader relates to them and the way in which the leader solves problems with them, empowers them to get their job done, intervenes when there's behavior that's inappropriate. So that's one of the things that I think makes me it certainly helps to guide me when the leader knows that they're on the hook for the results of their team in the process of leadership development. And I think the other thing is that I actually enjoy what I do. So I have a lot of fun, and I know that when people are smiling and laughing and able to laugh at themselves, not just each other, that they're also more susceptible to learning. So I bring my sense of humor into the conversations as well, Jim.
Which is important. That is essential. So how do you do this in the conversation, and what is so special about a conversation?
What's so special about a conversation? Well, you know, as people are listening to this broadcast, they're assessing, considering, mulling over what we're saying, and matching it, I would think, one of the things they might be doing is matching it to their own experience of being at work or being with a leader. So our conversation is going into their conversation. You with me?
Yeah.
So, all right, I'm going to say something that's, we are a conversation. We're constituted. We're made up. Now, we got a body, and we got arms and hands and legs. But how we interact with the world comes through the filters of our conversations that we are about the world. So if I can be more effective at understanding the conversations that I inherited and the conversation and whether or not they limit or help me move into the world, then I can be more at choice about whether or not I listen to that conversation or I generate a different one. So we're constantly interacting with the world through a conversation. So becoming masterful in the conversational environment is about becoming more and more aware of what's the conversation I am right now about this person, this situation, this opportunity, this problem, these world events. What do I say about it? Because what I say about it tells me what I can do or not do about it. I hope that wasn't too esoteric.
No, not at all, not at all. So we're the ones who, of course, are ultimately in charge of our reality. When we collectively get together and use our imagination, wonderful things can happen. That's when really great things can spring forth individually and collectively. So it really does, as you mentioned a little bit earlier, require this dialogue. Working together collaboratively can be a beautiful thing, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And we aren't much schooled or taught, and those are two different words for me, but we don't necessarily have a lot of experience in our adult life about collaborating. You know, we might be on a capstone team in college, and then we get a job and we know we're competing with the person in the desk next to us. So this collaboration and being willing to actually see what somebody else's point of view is and learn from it, that's one of the challenges I think people have in these days. We're used to being told, watch out for yourself, you know, don't let the other person get the upper hand, don't let them see you cry, all that stuff that kind of pulls us away from each other, Jim. And that pulling away doesn't support what we need to get done in today's world, whether it's in our home life, our work life, or our communities. We really need to, in my view, examine and come back to this, okay, what are we going to do together, and how are we going to be with each other while we try to make some good things happen for us?
Mm-hmm. Which is really important, and that's very hopeful too. It's all about humility. That's why you call it a work in progress. You never truly arrive, right? It's ongoing.
Yeah. Well, if you take a look, when I knew I had arrived and had things all sorted out, that's usually when I crashed into something, because I was too about myself, and I was too ego-centered. And now I have enough bruises to give you evidence for that. But when we think we've got it sorted out, we actually stop thinking and stop generating. We stop bringing our energy and our hearts and our whole self into a situation. And, you know, that's where some conversations turn out like, yeah, I've heard this before, or, oh, there she goes again, or, you know, the kinds of things that really shut down possibility and shut down ideas and separate us rather than connect us with each other.
Right, and that's the thing. We seem to be in that mode societally right now. We've got to realize we're all connected. It's all important to be connected. The power of conversation is extraordinary. You're a conversationalist. I'm a conversationalist. We both understand that. But sometimes you need to work with folks who aren't necessarily born conversationalists and work with them in the intense way that you do to encourage them to learn how to really be a skilled conversationalist.
I want to underline that word you say, people who aren't born to be this. I would just, if we could rewrap this tape, I would, we'd have a conversation about that, and we can a little bit here, is that I think everyone's born with has the capacity. I have never met anybody in my 30 years of working with individuals and teams and organizations, I've never met anybody without the capacity to become masterful in conversations. Now, they need to want to do that, but they've got all the they've got all the parts they need. They've got to do that. So I just want to make sure that the listeners know this becoming.
Unless they have social phobia or other things that they're dealing with, which sometimes,
you know, there
are people I know even personally who do have that, and it doesn't come naturally for them. Kind of like you're a born leader, and I've interviewed a lot of people in executive leadership coaching who have said not everybody is a born leader. Some people are just not cut out or have any desire to be one. So it's all a matter of perspective. So you have to drill down to the why. That's really important, right? The real why.
Yeah. Yeah,
tell
exactly.
Us about that.
And, say again, Jim?
Tell us about that. Why drilling down to the real why? That's actually the first question I always ask myself in life when I ask questions. I like to know the why, because when I feel it, then I really am interested in all the rest of the nuts and bolts of the how and the when and the where. But when you feel the why, it's so much deeper.
Well, the why is probably, we can call the why a bunch of different things. We can call it our motivation. We can call it our raison d'etre, our reason for doing something. In some of the coaching language that I use, we look at, well, what is it that you're committed to? What is your big why? Simon Sinek talks about the big why in his work. Barry Posner in his work about the Leadership Challenge talks about it. But it is, what is it that is moving you to go in a particular direction, to want to accomplish something? Why do you want to do that? So it is that heart of hearts. And lots of times the first answer to the why isn't the most revealing answer. People say, well, I'm going to take this job because I'm going to get a paycheck and I need a paycheck to pay my bills. I said, okay. So then why is it that you want to pay your bills? Why is it you want to provide that for your family? Well, so there are deeper conversations. If you keep asking why, you'll get to something that isn't necessarily related to or connected with the first reason that they gave you. And as a coach, it's really important for me to understand what's at the core of someone's motivation to want to lead this team to accomplish something. You know, what's at the core? I don't care whether you're providing health care for people or insurances or making cars or whatever it is that the business is about. Knowing what motivates the individual to keep coming to work and doing their best, trying their best, working out with other people, that's really important, not only for me to know as a coach, but for the leader to know about their team. Why? What is it that's having this person be with us? What is it for them?
So much about leadership becomes about command, which is, I guess, so wrong and kind of backward, I would imagine. Too many leaders sometimes, I guess, are preoccupied with who is following them as opposed to inspiring and mentoring.
Leaders, if you look historically, we don't even have to look too far historically, you know, we think about just the industrial age that where did our American kind of mentality come from? And it was, we split off from the English and came over here and we got our military together and we, had some wars. So there was this command and control and this kind of blind obedience sometime, and I'm not slighting the military at all, but it was like, no, we do what the commander says because they've got a particular view. So there was this militaristic command and control. And then as our society started to grow with industries and businesses, it was like that mentality got inherited by companies and businesses. And that inherited conversation worked for a while because people didn't know. So, assembly lines, all right, give me a wrench. I'll go I'll go turn the bolt, and then I'll go home and come back, and tomorrow I'll turn it some more. But that's kind of our evolution of understanding what to do. And we've evolved now, certainly in the 21st century, to where business is no longer turn the bolt. The business is very much about inventing and reinventing and innovating. So you've got to have that kind of open thinking at a lot of different levels. So the command and control, which used to restrict what people thought, well, maybe it didn't restrict what people thought, but it restricted what they did, and that kind of box them in, you used that term earlier. We're in a whole different world today where the sides of the box have fallen down. I mean, Thomas Friedman in his book, The World is Flat, we're now connected, and I've got friends in India and Mongolia. I've got a client in Mongolia. It's like we're now this global network of conversations. So the command and the control of restricting and trying to contain, it just isn't effective anymore. So the leaders who kind of came from that old school of command and control are now having to rethink how they go about leading. And, you know, what does it mean to be a leader in today's society, not just the inherited conversation of just tell people what to do and, you know, fire them if they don't do it. So, yeah, it's a whole mentality shift, which, if I can circle back around, that mentality shift was a shift in conversation. So people had to think differently. Leaders now have to reinvent what it means for them to lead and what does it look like when people are getting the job done without me necessarily telling them every step of the thing, of the way to go.
Exactly right. That's exactly the right mindset. You know, regardless of the title of the role, if you understand the dynamics of being human and what it takes to be authentic, you're on your way to really making contributions, right?
Yeah. So, I mean, what if you would have asked me a couple of years ago, what does it mean to be authentic? I would have said one thing in terms of how I would describe it. Now, the more experience I get about authenticity, I mean, I'm still developing myself. I'm still evolving myself. So authenticity takes on a different kind of tone and different dimensions for me. But it is, I think, this wonderful capacity to keep looking at, well, who am I now? And who do I want to be? And do I want to keep continuing the choices I've made, or are there some new choices I need to make? So being true to yourself is a challenge, because lots of times we don't even take the time, Jim, to sit down and have conversations with ourselves, or to reflect, or to let in the kind of feedback that can really help us develop ourselves.
Which is really important, absolutely. You know, when you're working with a team, I imagine, do you have any requirements of certain things that you want to have happen, that must happen? How do you have people sort of change that ground-in perspective or mindset? It seems like it might be a tall order. And do you usually work with teams, or do you also work with individuals as well?
I do work with individuals, and the more effective approach is to work with the individual and the team, because if I work just with a leader, their relationship with the team is what matters. So if I don't have the other relationship in the conversation, it's difficult. That's why I say when I work with leaders and teams, both the leader and the team need to be a request for what we're about to do. So that, how do you get people to be a request when generally the leader says, okay, we're going to do this, you know, team building program, and so you guys just come in the room and gals come in the room and we're going to do it. So, you know, without really finding out, well, would you like to do this with me? So the first thing is to have conversations with the leader to understand the kinds of conversations I'm going to have, not only with them individually, but with the team, because sometimes it brings up uncomfortable topics like, okay, what is the real purpose of this team? You know, what is it that, and how do we want to treat each other while we produce the results we say we're committed to? So having the team in the beginning and the leader understand that what is it that they want to accomplish? It's kind of back to the why, Jim. What's the why? Do they want to show up to work and be energized and propelled forward, or do they want to just come to work and slog through it and be drained? So I have conversations with them about what matters to them, what kind of work environment they want. And if it's not the environment that they currently have and they want a different environment, then let's create a pathway and a program to create that new environment for them. But they got to be engaged in doing it, because they're the ones that are going to shift the environment.
Mm. What would you say is the hardest part of being a coach, Camille?
Well, I can tell you one of the hardest parts for me, Jim, is to have some patience for the team to go through the process that they need to go through, not just for me to jam something into them. So that's, I don't know about other coaches, but I can tell you that's always something I'm mindful of. It's like, okay, I can see what y'all ought to be doing, but it's not good enough for me. It's even not even appropriate for me to project that onto them. They've got to see what they're doing. So I need to create a way for them to experience what isn't working and to give them some choices about what they could do to have it work better. So one thing is just me having patience. I think one of the second things might be to remember that this is their issue. It's not my issue. So I don't want to get stuck in their environment. I need to stay aware of it, but not get sucked in by it, so I can provide a different point of view. Because you know, when you're inside the team, you have point of view. That's it. Well, my job is to give another point of view.
Exactly. It's almost like being a doctor in a way. You have to do the things that have to be done for the care of the patient, but you can't always get so wrapped up and absorbed that it takes you over as well. It's great
That's
work
nice.
That you're doing, and it's important and vital work, Camille, and we commend you for this because, you know, it's legacy building, but it's also pay it forward. Every life that you touch, that you make, that you really sort of guide towards feeling confident and feeling a sense of importance and being a valued team member, and the resilience building that's part of this as well. These are characteristics that they can really take through the rest of their lives in their business world and in their private lives with relationships with people in general. So it's amazing work, and we really, I know we could spend an hour probably just talking about success stories and testimonials that you've had. Hopefully we'll have a wonderful opportunity to have you back with us here on CUTV News Radio. I do want to encourage folks, if you want to connect with our very special guest, Camille Smith, founder of Work in Progress Coaching, based in Northern California, but she works with folks all across the country and beyond, you can go to WIPcoaching.com. That's WIPcoaching.com. She is very accessible and would love to chat with you and connect with you and your organization, and probably do some wonders for you as well. Camille, thank you very much for joining us here on CUTV News Radio Live. It was a real honor and a pleasure to have you with us, and hope we do chat again real soon.
Thank you, Jim. Have an energized day, my friend.
You too, as well. Absolutely. Jim Masters here, thanking you for your time this time. Till next time, everybody. Thanks for listening, and I'll be back in less than 30 minutes with another amazing guest from all around the world right here on another 30-minute broadcast coming up in just a moment, 1 p.m. Eastern, here on CUTV News Radio Live. We thank our very special guest, Camille Smith of Work in Progress Coaching. Again, the website to connect with, very important. Write it down and take a look at it right away, WIPcoaching.com. For the entire team here, once again, thanks for being with us on this episode. Back at 1 p.m. Eastern with more, and we wish you a phenomenal day. Take care, and bye for now.
You've been listening to CUTV News Radio. If you want to learn more about our programming or perhaps be considered for a future show, visit us on the web at www.cutvnews.com. And if you enjoyed listening to today's show, subscribe to our podcast on iTunes or Stitcher and be sure to write a review. Thanks for listening, and from all of us at CUTV News Radio, we hope you have a productive and inspired day.